you for that challenging him. Have I done my best for Jesus? The joy to put on faces that have meant so much to the Lord's work in Zambia. See, Brother Wilson here, he'll be able to give you a recent update of Tugoma. But as you hear and see what the Lord has been doing, I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. Sometimes when you get together at a missionary prayer meeting, one might not always see and hear of all that the Lord is doing. But when you realize that these prayer meetings are the powerhouse for those working on the front line. I'm very happy that my wife is with me here this evening. It's so much better when a missionary can travel with his wife. I think the Lord knew what he was saying when he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'd like to tell you how this works out in a very practical area. In Zambia, I came up to a stop sign and came to a rolling stop, and a policeman stood there. And he said, sir, what does that sign say? And I said, it says, stop. He said, did you stop? I said, well, I thought I did. He said, no, you didn't. Then my wife turned to him and said, excuse me, sir, my husband did stop. He took one glance at my wife and he said, the man said she did stop, so you better go on. Don't let him travel with your wife. When missionaries travel around, they get themselves into interesting situations. Sometimes they can be a little embarrassing. Here in one assembly in South Africa, it was a new assembly that actually didn't have a building. And it was still, a meeting based apart from a home. So as they were gathered in this home, the worship service was about to start. And at that moment, I heard the distressed tones of a husband speaking to his wife. And he said, honey, so you're breaking a bread meeting's ready to start and there's no bread. And he said, that's strange. I put the bread down there on the table just a moment ago. And he said, it's certainly not. She said, I put it down on the table a moment ago, but he said, certainly not there now. Meanwhile, what had happened, one of our little girls at that time had noticed it. She grabbed it, and she was polishing it off underneath the table. I'm sure they didn't forget our visit. As the children go up, I have found them. There's tremendous object lesson of them. Interesting verses in the Bible. The Lord says, except you become as little children. The faith of a little child is a beautiful thing to see. An atheist in a hospital in Cape Town, South Africa, came to Christ as a result of that verse. My father had the joy of leading them to Christ. The little children can teach us a lot in faith and even prayer. And that furlough, we had a demonstration of this. You perhaps were one of the many teams that were praying for the two Canadian missionary nurses in Angola who were kidnapped, Marion Wilson and Nora Draper. They served the Lord at that time about 100 miles to the north of us. And they would come through to Tugoma getting supplies. When they were kidnapped, many people were praying for them. I phoned the parents in British Columbia and Ontario and just to assure them that many people were praying for them. And at that time, someone gave me the phone number of UNITA, the insurgent group fighting in southern Angola. Their office in the U.S. with a little word of caution. They said, at this time, it's important that the news media are not made aware of this because it put the State Department in a difficult situation. Also got the number of the one who is personal advisor to the president on religious matters. And Lois was rather amazed one day, said this is a phone call, and said this is the White House returning your call. So it was rather an interesting experience. But when I got through to UNITA's office, it actually was Arlington, Virginia, I said, sir, I'm calling on behalf of the parents of two Canadian nurses who have been kidnapped, or I use the word taken by your forces in Angola. And I said, if anything happens to them, the world will not look very well at UNITA's cause in Angola. I said, as you know, those missionary nurses were there helping the people, living sacrificially, trying to help people in a practical way, and also telling the people the gospel of Jesus Christ. The voice at the other end said, you don't need to worry about them. We know the difference when a missionary is in Angola and when a Cuban is in Angola. He said, but unfortunately, when the war zone moves to an area where there are civilians, if anything happens to them, we will be blamed. So we have to evacuate them and take them to a safe area. He went on to indicate that they would be well taken care of and almost conveyed that they would be given a 5-star hotel accommodation along the way. Of course, I knew it was different, a 500-mile trip through one of the remote parts of Africa. After that, we received the news. It happened to be just after my neurosurgery, and we were praying for them. One of our daughters made this interesting comment. She said, let us pray, if it's God's will, that they might be released and be reunited with their families on Christmas Day. 10 days to Christmas that month. My adult mind was thinking 500-mile walk. However, would they be able to get from the remotest part of Africa in captivity back to their loved ones and families in Canada? But fortunately, I kept my big mouth closed. Our children had greater faith than the parents, and they started praying very earnestly that the Lord would release Marion and Nora on Christmas Day, or to be reunited with their family on Christmas Day. Very specific, and I thought that was interesting. You know what happened? Marion and Nora were released and arrived in Toronto International Airport. Yes, what day? We've got it, Christmas Day. One might say a coincidence, not. I would say so. We have a great God, and I'm so thankful He hears and answers prayer. So don't be discouraged. At missionary prayer meetings, God does answer prayer. Mary and Nora are actually serving the Lord with us at this moment at present. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke 19. And verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy feet, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. No wonder he wept. They did not know the time of their visitation. Peace was hidden from their eyes. Verse 42. Today in the UN, they talk about peace and lasting peace. They have that verse from Isaiah, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. But they leave out the first part of the verse, we shall reign. And that makes a difference. They talk about peace, but don't want to mention the name, the Prince of Peace. No wonder we have 45 wars around this globe. But when the Lord saw them, city, he wept over it. When you see a city, how does it affect us? How does it affect you? How does it affect me? He was moved when he saw the multitudes of sheep without a shepherd. Paul had a similar reaction in Acts when he saw the city. That his spirit was stirred when he saw the city. Thank God for men of vision who are moved, who weep over a city. We went out to the Midwest in Canada, where my wife's sister's family are in Saskatchewan. And at that time, the news was about the Yellowstone fires. And we were talking among ourselves, some comments we had heard about that the bigger animals are not affected by the fire, but the little ones usually are and are burnt up. We didn't realize our little nephew was taking the dog. I was driving along and I noticed little Christopher in tears, 7 years old. Christopher, what's the trouble?
He said, those animals are burning up in Yellowstone.
Why did Christopher, a lot of them get away?
But he says, the little ones burned up,
and he was in tears. The tears were running down his face. And it was a hard job to comfort little 7-year-old Christopher. I have an object lesson that day. If a 7-year-old child is moved by animals burning, where are the Christians who are willing to shed tears for those going through eternal crisis? General Booth said, I wish our preachers could spend 24 hours in hell and then go out and preach the gospel. He said there would be more fervor. Here it says, when he beheld the city, he wept. When Paul saw the city, his spirit was stirred within him. 1,000 years ago, an interesting thing took place in Central Africa. Islam made an effort to penetrate and capture Central Africa for Islam. Quite a number of Islam missionaries went out, and one thing stopped their progress. You know what it was? A little insect called the tsetse fly. Their camels were dying off, their donkeys were dying off, and their project failed. It seems God kept Islam away from Central Africa for a reason. Today, great things are happening in Central Africa. We've had our times of tears and sorrows and trials, but Satan hasn't got it all his own way. God is doing great things. Just in the past 3 years, there have been 11 new assemblies in the Chivuma area. The last 10 years, in Zambia, there has literally been hundreds of new assemblies forming. Africa, according to one mission publication, says it is the fastest growing church in the world today. One missionary from Ethiopia told me, in Ethiopia, when you name the name of Christ and realize it could be your death sentence, he said, you don't have people playing church in Ethiopia. But in spite of war conditions, in spite of economic depravity, hunger, famine, poverty, God is working in spite of these problems, and thousands are coming to Christ. The first assembly mission station started in Zambia just over 80 years ago. The growth since independence was rather interesting. Right after independence, there seemed to be a tremendous drop of the assemblies overseas, the people, expatriates, and many of the assemblies just about closed up. I'm speaking of those in town. We had a line of rail. We're about 600 miles from town. But anyway, many of those assemblies just about packed up, and then they started praying, and when they were flat, people started praying in earnest, and God started work. You'll see from the blue chart here that in 1906 was the first assembly mission station. In 1964, independence, than 100 assemblies. And since that time, in 24 years, there has been a tremendous growth. Altogether, just over 80 years, there are close to 1,000 assemblies. In a fallen nation of 7 nations. We give God the glory, and we realize, God be the glory, great things He has done. But this is the result of your prayers and your interest. Don't be discouraged when praying. God does answer prayer. I'd like to give you a few details of some of these new assemblies. Some of them are going through very difficult situations. I was on the assembly right to the northwest. We're only 6 miles from the border. A Russian helicopter flew over just as we came out of the worship service. They just wanted to have a little look and tell me why they were so close to the border. I thought, we've got nothing to hide, but what a testimony. All the Christians were walking up with their Bibles. I didn't hear the landmine go off during the service. I picked up the casualty on the way home. This poor woman, a civilian, had stepped on a landmine, and she's been carried in a hammock. Her leg was sticking out of the hammock. The foot had disintegrated. About 14 inches of the bone was sticking out. The calf was still hanging down there in 5 toes, dangling at the arm. The doctors had to amputate a number of legs with these landmine cases. One of the elders in the meeting lost his life with a landmine. Another one lost his leg. It's taken a heavy, toll down through the years. But God is working in spite of situations like this. Had to smile, the type of prayer they prayed. One brother prayed Sunday morning nearby the landmine area. He said, Lord, we've been hearing the guns go off this morning across the border. Lord, you keep those guns pointed just in their own direction. Another assembly near the border. A brother and his wife, refugees from Angola, invited me home to their home after the meeting. I'd like to describe their home. It was a grass hut, 8 feet by 8 feet. And as I bent over to enter the low doorway, I sat down and I looked around and I saw all the possessions of that refugee family, a bed, a table, and a few meters of supplies. But out of their poverty, they were sharing with me, a brother in Christ, what they had. I felt humbled as I sat there enjoying their hospitality to see how they are sharing what they had with others. Another new assembly around Shibuma. I was moved when I heard that some of the Christians had walked way through crocodile-infested waters, waist-deep at night, to get some meetings and sat down drinking there. When the hour's up, they said, I've got to stop. They said, oh no, you've come a long way, we've given up other things. You want to hear the Word of God. The second hour, the third hour, and they're just asking all sorts of questions. We've seen people sitting through torrential rain, listening to the Word of God as the PA system proclaims it to the crowds gathered around, shivering in the rain at night, listening to the Word of God. A scene like that is hard to describe, but when you see it, it really moves your heart. These questions come fast as they have recently trust the Lord, many of these faith in Christ. They say, how can I grow in Christian faith? How can I overcome temptation? What book do I start in reading the Word of God? Questions about the Bible, questions about witchcraft, questions about marriage. I had a smile one day. This one brother asked this question without a flicker of a smile. He said, brother, what would you suggest in a situation, a man and his wife, both Christians, they're not getting on very well together. What's the best way to get rid of your wife? Please sit down with them and share with them. Well, that's not the way the Lord takes care of these problems. There's an answer. There's no problem too great that the Lord can handle in the Word of God. And we've had the joy of seeing 11 marriages healed by the grace of God that were on the rock, and some had involved even divorce, but the Lord brought those couples together. But it does involve a few important stepping stones, foundation stones. One, there must be a listening ear to what God says about the matter. Two, there must be a willingness obey what God says. And those two important things are often missing. We do our own thing, and we often find we get ourselves into deep water. One could go on telling other things what the Lord is doing, but time will not permit. One place we stopped by, we're going along the road, a man waved us down. I thought, sure, he's wanting a ride. That you can hardly drive a couple hundred feet around Tugumo without someone wanting, waving you down to give asking for a ride. So this man was asking for a ride. I thought he was asking for a ride, but when he actually stopped, he said, do you mind stopping and telling my people about the Lord? Can you imagine that taking place? What a joy. It was just to stop there and tell them about the Lord. Today there's an assembly there. Another place between that place and Tugumo, another new assembly started. I'd like to tell you how that took place. How that formed. We're going along the road, and we'd often crave for this village. We must stop here some time. It'd be lovely if we could just give these people time, because we went by time and time again. One day, you know what happened? Our vehicle broke down, no other place apart from this village that we've been praying for. As if the Lord would say, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to make you stop. We couldn't move, and we sent a cyclist to Zambezi to the Travises at David and Grace to see if they could help. But while we were waiting there, about 4 hour wait, people gathered around and started telling them about the gospel. Some of them had never heard the stories that were stolen from the Bible. The adults also heard the gospel. Some Christians went back and visited them, and 15 trusted Christ. Another group went back and visited, and some more trusted Christ. It's a real joy to see an assembly there. We just thank God for what He is doing. It's really great to see the work of God working, the hand of God working in Africa. Africa has the fastest population growth in the world. Today is 568 million, according to recent publications in the library. It has doubled just in a matter of a few years. But God is certainly at work. And we just want to thank you for your part in it. At the end, please feel free to come up and have a look at some of these items of interest. We have a hippopotamus tooth here. And also a elephant tooth. Imagine the dentist working on that one. I was in Carolinas last furlough and speaking to a Sunday school, and I said, boys and girls, can you tell me who it was in the Bible who was swallowed by a big fish? One boy put up his hand, and yeah, I said, yes, who was it? And he said, Pinocchio. He needs to get his theology worked out. This is a whale tooth. We have a piece of elephant skin 1 inch thick. Now you can understand why the elephant doesn't get hurt when he has that thick armor plate. This is what we need as Christians, thick skin. Sometimes comments can be made and they can just rip us apart and we can get so upset. But the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Here's something that's just arrived from Africa. It took 11 months to arrive, parcel post. So if you don't get an answer from the field to unlock parcel sent, parcel post, don't get too discouraged. Sometimes our Christmas cards arrive in time for the following Christmas. This is a pair of warthog tusks. They're used for defense and also for attacking. I will never forget just on the Zimbabwe side of the Victoria Falls, seeing two horned lusks. They were kudus, antelopes that had been fighting. And as they were fighting, their horned lusks, and it was a deathlock, they couldn't get out of it. And that's the way they died. It is a practical lesson in my own heart. In the Lord's work, horns make and they strength. If we're not careful the way they're used, interlocking horns and devastate the work of God. We want to work together for the find this just so useful. And then we have something that caused me a lot of distress. I've had a smashed kneecap, a broken leg last year at a remote part of Zambia. I couldn't drive back, but the Lord took care of that. They've opened up my head. I told the neurosurgeon, I said, don't let the cat out the bag if you don't find any graves inside. But I would say all that is minor to one small thing that I have in my hand that has caused me the greatest pain in my life. Last year, I went to sleep. It was a period when there were millions of little beetles flying around, and once the number got in the house, and I woke up about midnight, and this little beetle got in my ear, and with its sharp legs, he was using my eardrum as a trampoline. may have thought it was a pretty good trampoline, but I was in agony, and I just about passed out from that little insect. I thought that the thing is the little part of the world. It's those little things that come in to our lives, personally or even things that can ruin the work of God. If you want these people to build up the work of the Lord, Mr. Ernest Wilson, now let's get what he said. In the Lord's work, one thing I want to do is to build mind and be. You know what I mean? We have things that can fight. There's one fighting bug. If you get that on me, you know all about it. A little scorpion. But if you prefer the jumbo size, we also have them. Mm-hmm. I won't take time to show you. Let's have a look at these. Just one more thing. We have something that can take your life. You perhaps recall the 19-footer python skin that my father traveled with. It's a 14-footer. You don't need to worry about the pythons. They don't have any poison. They just wrap these coils around you and squeeze you to their back. I might have these.
Lights on.
An aerial view of Africa, 300 miles up from the satellite, is quite a fantastic panoramic view, but it gives you no idea of all that's going on in the 53 countries. Civil wars, political upheaval, economic problems, but more than that, God is doing a great work in that continent, which is one of the 13 dark continents. Right in front of our camp site, 4 miles down the river from the mission station, we camp up and enjoy a beautiful sunset as the sun dips over the horizon. Zambia is landlocked with 8 countries on the border. We are 13 degrees south of the equator. Zambia in the northwestern corner. This is the spot where the two Canadian missionaries were kidnapped. 52 miles away from us, the province to serve the Lord. Here you have the Canadian school where two missionaries remain on the field. The Livingston Memorial, this is the spot where Livingston died just over 100 years ago. At Louis Vuitton, and then this is where it's called. An aerial view of the Kabul gives you a little idea of the complex of the building. This is in the dry season when the leaves have all dropped. Our full season is in June and July. Around September, the bonbon blossoms come out, and by a striking contrast, the yellow cassia blossoms seem to be wet season. So you see what we have in some of the bonbon background. But then the golden village comes out in some of the later parts. Half in the background. 3 miles away, water cast stays down 80 feet of flood. Now, this is a great size, but I don't know if 2 miles away is The country of Zambia is interesting. It looks rather small and almost lost in the continent, but the U.S. will fit into Africa 3 times. And actually 14 states indeed will fit into Zambia, from Maine down to Georgia, so you have a little idea of the size of the country. The Zambia tourist bureau tries to bring people to come along in. So watch out for those crocodiles and check in the owners. The big tourist attraction of might be Victoria Falls, right behind the Niagara. An aerial view shows you one glimpse of a 1 mile long tunnel. They even have white water lapping in the course in the high season of 2 thirds to the west. At the turn of the century, the bridge was still linking Zambia with the outside world. As the sun gets over the horizon, you get a grand canyon variety of colors. Livingston puts the balls on the map and they have erected the statue of his memory on the Zimbabwe side. To commemorate his life and death in Zambia, the local authorities issued a set of stamps. Here you have a linking Stanley and also some in the falls, carried for the fifth and the tree where he parted there. Another stamp shows in the broken Bible as people gather around. He didn't see many converts, but he realized that one day this would be a reality. In Zambia, if you run out of one denomination stamp, all you do is cross it out and put another ticket. It's a little different. 200 miles downstream from the Victoria Falls, you have the Lisa Dam. At the time it was constructed, it formed the world's largest man-made lake, which is mounted superseded by a dam in Russia. The Lisa Dam provides hydropower for 3 Central African countries. The backbone of Zambia's economy is based on the copper mine. This is down the deepest mine in Africa, which is in Zambia. After we were down there, there was a massive flood and another of the miners were drowned. As the war strategy, copper ore rolled out on the conveyor belt, it's interesting to know that Zambia has 1/4 of the world's copper deposits. The capital of the country is Lusaka, population of 600,000. At one point, Zambia used to export quite a bit of food. Here, corn is stacked up, but now they are actually importing food. Drought conditions have not been the only reason for famine conditions in Africa, although we don't have the fear that famine conditions are chronic food shortages. And actually, 3/4 of Zambia's tractors are out of operation because they don't have the mechanics there to keep them running. The two pictures of this area showing a variety of habitat compact of the cities with the rural areas where 90% of the people live. Zambia has a savanna country, which is mixed plainland with freeland. Traveling around, you can't help but appreciate the beauty of creation. Looking at a giant mushroom. Forest fires take their toll every year. It's becoming increasingly difficult to get photographs. In some number of cases when witnesses have been arrested simply by taking a photograph of the wrong spot, they don't inform you until after you're arrested. So you might wonder, how did I get this photograph? I'll show you the secret. You might have found that this picture of your own son. It's better than being arrested. The people of Zambia are a lovable people, especially when it comes to their tribe. There are 80 different language groups. The basic diet in our part is the manioc root, how do you live in our water? Fishing baskets, catch the fish in the Zambezi River. And if you want to cross the Zambezi, the ferryman will be happy to help you out. It's a very lovely experience. One pioneer missionary put it this way. If you want to keep from overbalancing as you cross in these canoes, it's quite a help if you can park your head on the middle. The paramount sheep is more a figurehead. You wouldn't have too much power. And then it's hotter. This is the phrase which is gradually dying out, but the younger ones who want to do it, they're moving out of town. From the young to the old, they can tell stories, especially the older ones. They remember the days when slaves were sold and witches were burnt. My father once caught, but that came across a man who had been roasted alive because they accused him of being a witch. And they had to take him back to the woman's care for him. At a time of death, that's when people are broken. Their death wail is a weird thing to hear. You hear it from miles. They cry uncontrollably. But it's a time that you can share the gospel with them in the quietness of a great heaven. With the refugees that have come over, they just have to come with what they can carry. Here they're lining up with food supplies. We're giving out for some time now. The government has moved many of them out to the refugee camp 400 miles away. Food supplies that were given them was rather meager. Meal is tied up, but it was a life that sustained them for them. Let's jump back briefly to the early years and see what it was like then. When Livingston traveled Central Africa, it was the Bible that was his guidebook. When father and mother went to Africa from Buffalo, New York 65 years ago, there were no roads to Kaboom at that time, and the only means of reaching there was by barge, a 7-week journey up the river. They used donkeys to carry the burden. At night it became a problem because the lions would come around and smell the dust and try to attack them. A lot of the itinerating was done on foot using horses. The witch doctor was a man who helped people in fear and was responsible for many murders. You see why they're preaching the gospel here, but people were scantily clothed in those days, using barco clothing, loincloths. But as the gospel was preached, little assemblies started to form. They weren't large, but God started to work. And then eventually this building was built at almost 2,000 people. After a while, it was felt that it was better to decentralize and create local hits. It was a wise move, but today, around the movement, there are 26 assemblies. We're looking at the Logan family when we were kids. We weren't really here on the run. My brother David wasn't born yet. Father spent a lot of time with the Word of God, and when he would get up and minister, he would use it to something very practical. In the sunset of his life, the strain of living in the tropics started to tell. It's hard to summarize a person's life on a tombstone. Sa'uda means, that was the African name they gave him, meaning the father of peace. And he certainly was a faithful servant of God. Mother led hundreds and hundreds to Christ in her lifetime. It was a joy to meet people around from different countries who come up to me and said, your mother led me to Christ. Independence was the sunset of an old era. As fireworks burst into the night air, at midnight a new flag went to the top of the flagpost for the first time. The British Union Jack came down and the Sunday flag went up. 24 years have now elapsed. Some of the flags are a bit tattered. A little symbolic of their economy. President Kaunda is a God-fearing man. He's been in a 24-year term. Although the country needs much to be desired economically, we're thankful for the open doors that we do enjoy in Zambia. Years ago, when missionaries would go across the Atlantic, they wouldn't fly, but they would go by boat. It was going to be a month journey from New York to Cape Town. On the way, they had a lot of opportunity to contemplate what lay ahead. Arriving at Cape Town, the southern tip of Africa, it was then a 2,000-mile journey up to Chibuma. But in the wet season, if you're there at that time, have a look at one of our turnpike things. One thing you don't have to worry about is the policeman giving you a ticket. With the obvious grass, it's so hard to park even see the road. After a heavy deluge, the road can become a canal. Generally speaking, we found it much better to use your vehicle on land rather than in the water. Let me tell you something. This vehicle ran very well after it was baptized. We have accidents a little different from the type you would have in the States. A truck ran into this hippo and killed it. Now we're starting to get the same type of accidents you have here in Pennsylvania. A tanker bringing in fuel had a blowout on the front wheel, turned over, and burst into an inferno of flames. Taking a trip up into Angola to visit the assembly, I was impressed, in spite of that civil war, people dying, living in poverty, the chapels are just packed out. People in the aisles and standing around the windows, and there's a head, a very encouraging service from the Word of God. Here's another type of bridge, if you can use that term. 5 miles an hour. Flash flood can make the bridge disappear, and it flies and waves until the flood goes down before you proceed. The government has done a good job in installing pontoons in strategic areas on the river. This enables us to get out to remote parts. We live in a little tent, and with the heat of the day, it's sometimes a little trying, but it has paid off because they're working out with these Christians day and night, and there's a number of assemblies that have formed. A motorbike is quite a help in negotiating narrow footpaths where you wouldn't be able to have access to them because a wide vehicle wouldn't take it. Most of our out-of-the-way stations have an airstrip. Although the Assembly missionaries don't have their own airplane, the African Evangelical Fellowship, a sister evangelical group, have been very gracious in helping us when we have a need of flying. The family started with father and mother. What lovely remembrance we have of parents. I wish I had a couple of hours just to speak about what mother and father meant to us as we grew up as kids, but I see that kind of people going on, so I'll move on. There were 5 girls and 2 boys. And at least remember the family got married, the family increased. Now, with all the grandchildren, it's quite a tribe. This picture was taken just 2 months before our father went to meet the Lord. People say you go too fast over your family pictures, so I'm going to have a quick rundown here on where everyone are. First of all, Bob and Viola Young. At present, at Tima Mellon will be going out this month to Chibuma. Then, yours truly and my wife Lois, Mike and Esther Howe are also with us at Chibuma. The picture was the last one we took of father, and then Grace wasn't married at that time. She's now serving the Lord with David Crowder, just 52 miles away. Ben and Frank Einer. Ben had to leave Chibuma because his liver was packing up because of the anti-malarial he was taking. He's now serving the Lord with Frank among the Zulus and Indians in South Africa. And of course, you know David and my wife and his wife Lucy. The wives of the subject. And finally, John and Eleanor Sin, serving the Lord in Zimbabwe. How did I meet my wife? I hope you've got a couple hours. If you don't, we'll move on. This is a good detour in Boston. I've decided I'm not going to spend over the detours again. We were married in Chicago in 1965, when we went down to get the marriage license at the marriage bureau licensing office, there was a little sign on the door. It read, "Out for lunch, think it over." Joy was the first baby that came along. Premature baby, but she brought us a lot of joy. The next one was Martha, and then Becky. We remained, how many of the family go on one motorbike? As the children grew up, we felt it important just to give time to each individual need. But when Samuel came along, everyone was so pleased. He enjoyed helping Mom in the kitchen. One day, when Mom wasn't looking, he decided that chocolate cake would taste good. But now he's very sorry for his sins. The KG School, what a godsend. It enabled many missionaries to remain on the field with happening sooner. The highlight of our missionary career, I would say, is the family altar. Right from early years, what a joy it is just to take time in the morning and in the evening reading the scriptures together. It's been a joy to see each one come to know the Lord as Savior and also see them follow the Lord in baptism. When Joy and Martha were baptized, a group of 34 were also baptized that morning. You can't find a big well card, but it touches your heart when your child writes you a get well card that they made themselves. From their heart to yours. Our children enjoy the local delicacies. Now don't gasp, it is a psychological hurdle, but they are caterpillars for supper. You have to boil them very good or roast them, and here's one of our girls putting them one in her mouth. As you put them in your mouth, they do have a tendency to pop. Come and visit us sometime, won't you? It's hard to put in words the excitement there is when a food parcel arrives from overseas with goodies that you can't find in stores over there. We're very thankful to the Lord for the family. Joy is going to Philadelphia College of the Bible, giving elementary education, and also Martha, she's just been 3 years at Emmaus, and she's also doing the same. Becky is also at Emmaus, and then Samuel, he's going to Christian school in Philadelphia. We're glad to be here, glad to be planning to return next year. We are thankful to the Lord for our fellow workers. First of all, the doctor and his wife, Dr. Ian and Margaret Burness from the Assemblies in Scotland. Real fine couple. Although he's a good surgeon, field surgeon, he has a spiritual need to be focused. Then, of course, you know, Alan and her mother, this is his wife, when she went to Florida and more recently from being with Hill. Alan is not only a trained teacher, but also a registered nurse. We're so thankful to have her mother. She had her 80th birthday not long ago, and it's lovely to have her wisdom and experience there. Then Joyce and Ruth Finch, and now move to Neighborsburg. We're thankful for their dedicated services, part of working nurses in the hospital. And then Carla Ernst from Melbourne Assembly in Philadelphia, also on further at present. All for hard work. And then the two Canadian girls, Marion Wilson and Nora Draper from Ontario. And Mike and Esther Howe. Mike is a very hard worker. Esther also, we are thankful for them. And then Bob and Viola Young going out to the Boma this month. From Georgia, we have a couple of reasons to come out. Jeff and June Spicinger, we just thank the Lord for what they meant to us and rejuvenating us. And you might pray for them as they struggle with learning the Nepali language and also building their house. What a project. The medical work is a wonderful outreach to thousands of lives. The dispensary or clinic is usually packed every morning. In the pharmacy, they're kept busy trying to get supplies from overseas to their in the operating room. Lois on a night call. When you care for a person's individual needs and then present the gospel, you find you have a listening ear. So glasses are provided to those who have poor eyesight. And this brings us to another aspect of the work, the literature work. Literacy at one time was down to 25%. It's risen out to 74%. And the young people are the biggest fighters. And they're out in the villages day and night. They're trying to get these Bibles and Christian books into their hands. The goal is to get people to read the Bible for themselves. Evangelism is the foundation stone. You can't build up an assembly without first preaching the gospel. It's the secret of converts. One is all of the Lord's baptism. The chapel like the woman, built out of stone. The personal work is also important. You have to give time and a listening ear to a person's individual needs. And then, open the Bible to find an answer to those needs. Animal life makes an interesting break from missionary work. We have a contrast to the big rhino, which unfortunately is disappearing in Central Africa. The small scorpion, which is keeping the bee close up at the end. The leopard is a beautiful animal. There are many types of poisonous snakes. The crocodile is a dangerous reptile. It has 45 times its body weight including on its victim. So on a big crocodile, we're talking about a couple thousand pounds lock. This crocodile has a message, drop in sometimes. The poisonous tarantula is very deadly. It's exciting taking pictures of wild animals. By the way, the elephant is the one that's not falling. It's sad to see the result of poaching in Central Africa, taking a heavy pole, and the game guard can't get on top of it. He said, how can you handle it without a helicopter, thousands of square miles to cover? White ants do a lot of damage, they eat any of the soft goods. We had a book called How to Exterminate White Ants. The white ant found it and ate it up. It's amazing how two big hippos can hide behind a few branches and are so camouflaged. The second one is right there behind. We were out one evening and we ran into a pride of five lions. Just after I took this picture, we were proceeding on our way. We noticed they were walking up behind. Guess what? We had a flat tire. You've never seen a flat change in such a hurry in all your life. Here's something unique. I haven't seen it at any other place in the world. In these game parks, there are picnic areas. And this park, they have put bars, not to keep burglars out, but to keep the lions out if they come around while you're having lunch. The chameleon, he changes his color to be like the environment. This is something we should not do as Christians. The Lord wants us to be different from the world. We are thankful to the Lord for the opportunities with the young people. With the new assembly forming, Sunday schools are opening up all over the country. Our campsite overlooks the Zambezi River with a beautiful beach. You'll notice the crocodile barrier, like a shark net we put up to keep the croc away. Crocodiles kill 10 people every day, according to one publication. They're often called to shoot a dangerous animal. One crocodile was killing a number of cows right in front of our campsite, so we had to do away with it. This is one thing you don't have to do at Greenwood Hill. Once camp starts, there's a lot of activity to keep the campers busy. But when the whistle blows for lunch, you can see them flock around the lunch table. This is their daily diet. It's a sticky type of food made in a big cast iron pot. It looks like honey and it smells like glue. At camp, we try to encourage the Zambian young people themselves to be involved in leadership. They drop down low. But the greatest joy of all is to see a counselor meeting a camper for Christ. Scripture memorization is emphasized. Last night at camp, around the bonfire, there's an opportunity for them to give their testimony. One fellow said, "Please pray for me. My parents are both Jehovah's Witnesses." He came back the next year and said, "They tried so much to convert me to their way of thinking, but I had to do it beating mom and dad to Christ." The Bible in the public schools is a thrilling experience. The president and the Ministry of Education repeatedly said, "We want the Bible in our schools." So every week, six schools are reached with the gospel. And you have tremendous liberty to say virtually what you want from the scriptures. And also the high schools are open. It's good to see the parents reading the Bible to their families. Home Bible studies are very popular. This is besides the midweek meeting, which is also so encouraging to see. At a home Bible study, there's an opportunity to ask questions as we go verse by verse. This is a service in English. We have Sunday afternoon. The pastor on the other side of the sitting room is on the left. We have the chief of police, customs, immigration men, teachers. After the service, we come out on the front lawn and you can see a front view of the Zambezi River. The government also gives us free time on the radio. We send tapes to the capital and they put the gospel on the air at their expense. Maintenance takes a good portion of missionary time. Here we're putting in a 3,000 gallon tank for fuel. Power lines, welding, keeping up your vehicle, all part of a day's work. Handling containers, never know what a day will bring forth. Two-way radios are a lifesaver on these out-of-the-way stations. Correspondence takes a good portion of a missionary's day. Conferences are an opportunity to have good fellowship together in ministry. 50 conferences in the bush. Tarpaulins are put up to get protection from the fierce African sun, which is very hot this time of year. The elephant grass is collected to make the cabin, and even the children help out. Once the cabins are complete, the people start flocking in from all over. Believe it or not, there are 85 people on that truck. At lunchtime, it's like feeding the 5,000. They gather around in those groups and eat with their fingers. The highlight of the work in Africa today is the thirst for the Word of God. Assemblies are being formed. The Lord said, "I will build my church," and this is exactly what he's doing. He gets the credit for what has been accomplished. Some assemblies are small, some are large. How would you like to sit on tubes like that for 3 hours? This is at a refugee camp 400 miles away from Saruma. You get the war casualties from Angola. This man lost his leg as a result of a landmine. The doctor amputated it. And while he was in hospital, he came to know Christ. And here, Dr. Ian Burnett is baptizing him. You might ask about that canoe. That place there to keep the crocodile away while you're being baptized. There's a thought. That might make someone to believe in sprinkling instead of immersion. They don't always have money. The money is becoming almost vanitous in these developing countries, but what they have, they will bring to the Lord. This is an open-air worship service out in the open. Unto him shall the gathering of people be. When the Lord saw the multitude, that he was moved with compassion. May we also be touched as we behold the city without Christ. Africa is looking in a new direction today. She heard the voice of Islam, communism. So we want to make sure she hears the voice of God. The trying to reach the children and also the young people. We don't want to forget the older ones. We all need Christ. Let it not be said, we did not care for their souls. In the sunset of Father's life, he would often say, remember, we're not living for time, for eternity. In closing, the words of that beautiful hymn, may they challenge our hearts. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my life. Thank you for being fellow workers with us. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank thee for what thou hast been doing, not only in Zambia, but in other African countries and throughout the world. We give thee the honor and the praise. And we say to God be the glory, great things to yourself. We just pray in these last days when we see evil men waxing worse and worse, especially all around the world, but even in the United States, we pray for our nation that there might be a turning to thee. May we spend more time in prayer, Lord, for those in authority, that there might be a restoration of a fear of God in our nation and in the world. For thy glory, we ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.